the Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
I'm Dan Steele, and you're listening to the Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
Okay, welcome back to the Sports Coaching Podcast with me, Sam Holmshaw. We've been away for a while. I, for one, have had a really nice and well-deserved break, I must say, over the Christmas period. But really, really, really excited to be back today. And we're really delighted to be joined by Dan Steele today. I'm going to introduce him in a second. But firstly, I've just got to thank Feedspot so much for deciding to put our podcast on and listen it as one of the top 20 must-watch sports coaching podcasts of 2021. It's a huge honour for me to receive that recognition for the podcast, and you know, just kind of reiterates to me that, you know, all the hard and long hours of editing, producing the podcast, talking to guests was all worth it. So thank you very much, Feedspot, for that. But yeah, back onto today's episode. As I said, joined by Dan Steele. So Dan, welcome to the podcast. How are you? How are you doing this evening?
I'm great, or as great as I can be in current times, as you've just mentioned. I'm still pretty busy, even though my days are sort of an ever-changing landscape, but yeah, I'm still pretty good, still pretty active in work. Some things reduced, but some things still going.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, I was just thinking to myself, we've took us a while to get to this point. We've been trying to get a date sorted, and you've been nagging me. You're gonna get me on or what, Sam? But we finally got there. So yeah, I mean, let me ask you, as I always do to everyone, you briefly mentioned COVID there, but I mean, how's it been for you the last 8 or 9 months? You know, how's it affected your coaching? How's it been for your own with your studies and everything? I mean, how's it been?
Well, I suppose if we go back to, so obviously when we started, maybe sort of February, March time last year, when it sort of it's really sort of kicked off, if you were, my coaching just stopped completely. So I stopped working, stopped coaching. So it wasn't even just that I wasn't sort of getting out there and day to day, I wasn't earning any money anymore either. So that was a massive sort of strain financially, because I was quite regular, whether it was coaching in schools or like pay per sessions for whoever I was working for at the time. And in terms of studying, I was doing my undergrad, so I was sort of partway through my dissertation at that time. And as much as you're obviously supported by your DIS supervisors and other staff and things like that, not being able to go into uni was definitely a massive struggle for me, because I find that sort of being in and around people and having those interactions was definitely something for me as a positive. I feel I'm a lot better sort of being around people. So trying to sort of schedule Zoom calls and trying to sort of stay in touch with people and things like that to keep yourself motivated, it just wasn't the same. You can bounce ideas off each other, but it's just not, I mean, you'll know yourself, like it's just not the same. So yeah, definitely did struggle when it started. And then obviously I had to try and sort of still get through my dissertation and try and obviously look for work as well. I didn't have the security of any work.
Oh, glad to hear you've got through that. I mean, I certainly feel what you're saying there. A lot of that going through that myself. But glad you've got through that, Dan. And you know, as we do, I'm going to ask you to tell us what you're doing now and a bit about your coaching background. So, I guess, you know, if you want to introduce yourself, what's your coaching journey? What's kind of led you to where you are today? I know you study a master's as well at Leeds Beckett with myself, which is fantastic. So yeah, just tell us the journey, what's led you to where you are and what you're doing now in coaching in this strange time.
Yeah, no worries. So if we go back, I started coaching when I was probably around maybe 20, 21, purely in a voluntary capacity. But it was one of those situations where you were playing for a team and didn't have a manager, so you just kind of took over with your friends and things like that. So that's sort of where I started out. But then time happens, life happens, you stop, you start, you go back to it again, you revisit. I then sort of started to get into a mindset of, I actually want to do this as a job, as a profession. So I looked at sort of how I can sort of go about getting my coaching badges and things like that, and ultimately where I want it to be. But I was still sort of coaching teams that were, I suppose, all about sort of winning. It wasn't particularly a performance environment. It was just less about coaching and just more about turning up, picking a team and trying to get 3 points. So even though that was at grassroots or amateur level, I still sort of started asking questions myself, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing it for this team? And what are my whys? Like, why did I even accept this in the first place? And like I say, that just sort of tied in with my ideas around, yeah, I'd like to do this as a job. Because I'd played at quite a decent level when I was younger, sort of flirted with the idea, but just wasn't good enough. I'd played for a few pro teams. So I'd been in those sort of elite contexts, so I knew how it was. But I just thought, I'm never going to make it as a player, so maybe have a look at how I can sort of get into this environment and maybe help players that are sort of missing out on the coaching that I feel I missed out on when I was younger. If you were still fast forward to, I suppose, maybe 5 years ago, I'd got quite a bit of experience under my belt coaching men's teams, women's teams, kids' teams. And then I sort of started to look into sort of working in schools, going in and delivering like PE and things like that, so PPA. And I've been doing that for probably about 5 or 6 years now. And again, sort of, it's just a completely different context, but it's also something that I find very rewarding, something that I like doing sort of alongside my football coaching. Just going into primary schools and obviously delivering those curriculum PE lessons is part and parcel and sort of answers your why even more, because you come away from that on a daily basis thinking, yeah, this is absolutely great. I feel great. It's rewarding for me. It's rewarding for the kids in the schools. But then I always sort of like strip it back to me and myself and what I'm doing, why I'm doing it and how I can sort of improve myself and in turn improve my participants. So I thought, right, let's go to uni. And I already knew like Leeds Beckett had a massive reputation in terms of its sporting facilities and the opportunities and the interactions that you may have with sort of professional bodies and things like that. So I thought, right, I'll go do my undergrad. Never in a million years did I think I'd even finish it, never mind come out with a first. But again, 3 years down the line, massively proud of myself. Like I say, more so just because I did it. And again, I didn't want to stop there. I just thought, right, let's challenge myself even more. And that's what sort of took me onto the Masters. In terms of sort of my current coaching context, I coach at York RTC, which is a regional talent centre. I'm a technical coach for the under-10s team. The environment itself is a sort of a pathway to the elite environment for the girls. So they'll start at under-10s and it's dual age banding. So they'll move up to 12s, 14s and 16s. There is an under-11s in between now, but they didn't have one before this season. The coach I work with there, again, I think the whole team is absolutely brilliant, the staff team there. But in terms of me and my co-coach, I would say we're probably sort of cut from the same cloth, sole coaches, if you were. We both have like the same ideas about how we want to create the right environments and things like that. And it's more around sort of holistic development rather than just bang, 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 technical, tactical, all that sort of stuff. And we definitely bounce a lot of different ideas off each other. And it's great, like whether we agree or disagree, like it's all for the participants at the end of the day. And then slightly different to that, I coach at Tadcaster Albion as well, which is a semi-professional team, but I coach their under-23s. I head those up. In terms of current times, that's been probably the worst affected. We started that September last year, or maybe a bit earlier. But in terms of the amount of time we've had to play games and train, that's been drastically reduced. The RTC, I've probably got more out of that in terms of the time that we've had together, contact time. But in terms of the under-23s, absolutely not. And it's quite sort of detrimental in that respect because you'll spend maybe 2-3 weeks together and then that's it. You're not doing anything for a time because of what's going on. And yeah, that brings us up to now.
Yeah, mate, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Very, very interesting background. And the first thing I suppose I've written down is when you're talking about there's a lot of focus on in your early days of coaching getting the 3 points and maybe you had that mindset and, you know, I'd be interested in if this was sort of from you being a player and maybe coming through those youth structures. You know, I certainly didn't come through that, but I always felt the same. I always felt the environments I coached in when I first started. Sometimes it was always maybe a bit too much around the trying to win, particularly when we were thinking about youth development. So I suppose my question is, do you think that was influenced by your upbringing in sport, or was it just something you always kind of believed maybe there's more to just winning and gaining 3 points and all the focus around that, if you like?
I think I went from one to the other. I think I was probably involved in those environments quite a lot, and I would say they were sort of brutal, if you want to use that word. I'd been in and around on trials and things like that, and obviously it's not necessarily like winning games. It's you're in competition with yourself anyway and the other people that are on trial. So you're constantly trying to compete. And if you're not then getting results in games as well, it becomes quite a detrimental effect on your development and how you're going. So I think sort of moving into coaching then, I was still sort of surrounded by, even though they were my friends, like, it was always around sort of like competition and winning and things like that. So I suppose I don't know how it happened or when it happened, but I just kind of just thought one day, surely this isn't it. Surely it's not all about, like, you have to get these 3 points all the time. Because I just think, or for me personally, it just created like too much pressure, and it wasn't what made me tick. I didn't think, oh yeah, I need to win today, and then I was immediately motivated by that. Absolutely not. I was the exact opposite. I thought more, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I need to talk to them about how I'm feeling today. I need to talk to them whether I think I'm confident enough to put in a good performance today and things like that. So that was then what made me think, like, surely there's more to it than, right, come on, lads, 3 points today, crack on. And then it's like, well, is that it? Like, is there any more to that? Or so I think I kind of flitted from being in one environment and having those experiences to then, like I say, questioning myself and the environments that I were in after that in order to sort of progress. Because I just thought, if I am going to be a coach, if I am going to do it as a profession, I don't want to be that kind of coach. I don't want to be in an environment where I'm saying, come on, guys, win. And then no conversation, no nothing. Yeah. So, like I said, I think I went on sort of the short journey of being in that environment to, I don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I'm always really interested to hear, like, you know, how coaches' mindsets are or their philosophies. You know, I, as a young athlete, wasn't heavily involved in swimming. So, you know, I always felt there was never enough personal development thrown into me. It was always like similar to you, always having to win, and you felt so isolated all the time. And ultimately, like, that impacts you as a, you know, as a young kid and your life. You know, I spoke before
Definitely. We're
about the importance of life skills. So that's really interesting. So, you know, because of that, you know, sort of how that makes you up now and your beliefs and how you are, do you think that is maybe why you're more involved in talent development then in terms of your roles with York and Tadcaster rather than maybe being like a first team manager where there's more emphasis on performance and winning? Would that reflect where you are and why you're there really? Would that be right to say?
I absolutely love how you've just worded that, because like I say, I was in environments where I thought I needed to be the top dog. I thought I needed to be the manager, and I thought I needed to relay that information down to my assistants or my coaches or whoever I was working with. I thought I had these perfect ideas of what things needed to look like, but I was never challenged by anybody. So that was also a challenge for me, because I just used to think, is this right though?
Yeah.
Like, I've got an idea of how I want things to go. I am the first team manager, so this is this.
Yeah.
But then I used to sort of, when I went home and sort of thought about how games and coaching and training and things like that had gone, I used to just think, what am I even doing? Like, what am I challenging myself against? Like, who am I comparing myself to? Like, what are the ideals? And you're right, like, in terms of, is that why I'm in the environments I'm in now, as opposed to being a first team manager? I think, yeah, to answer your question, like, I'd tried that. I'd been the first team manager of X amount of teams. And although I would hopefully say I'd been reasonably successful in terms of whether it was player development or winning, I think I'd been all right at the two. I would definitely say that having those experiences and then switching over to being in the environments where I could just develop people, I definitely feel that It's probably better for me in the way I think to be under someone else rather than be the top person saying, do this, do that kind of thing.
Fascinating. And yeah, to be honest, it's really refreshing to hear both the personal and coaching journey you've been on. So thank you very much for sharing, Dan. And I think, you know, that really leads on nicely to our topic today. And I'm sat here thinking you're almost the perfect guest, really, to talk about our topic. But anyway, we decided we were going to talk today about the importance of understanding self as a coach.
The Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
Now, this was something that I was maybe introduced to in April, May time, you know, last year. And I'd never really thought about the idea or the topic, never really, you know, even had come across it in anything I was doing or anything I was reading, you know, whether that was at uni or just in the coaching profession. But certainly since I've kind of began to understand it and got my head around the topic, it's certainly impacted my coaching and my life a lot in general. So, you know, to sort of introduce the topic, Dan, and the first thing I'll ask you is, this idea of the Andy Abraham would call it the knowledge domain of understanding self. Well, you know, what is that? What does that mean? You know, what's the idea of that around?
I think similar to what you just said there, like you probably always had an idea of what it is if someone mentioned it to you as a concept. But I think until probably, I suppose, like both of us, we went to uni and we were introduced to different theories around it. I think obviously like your general understanding is me, who I am, what I do, my ideals, like you spoke about your coaching philosophy and your playing philosophy, like two separate things. I think it's, as a broad term, it's just what you do and why you do it. But again, like being introduced to the domain itself and some of the sort of literature that we've read and some of the ideas that we've been sort of introduced to, I think it's more, well, for me personally now, I think it's more around obviously, I suppose you look at the who, what, and how that Andy Abraham's obviously like introduced us to. I looked at the who, and as much as it was understanding the learner, I kind of stripped that back, especially for one of my assessments on my undergrad, and I wanted to understand myself a bit more. So it was understanding me, what makes me tick, how I work, how I can't work, sort of like the ideal environment. Because I just think until I can sort of understand me and what I do, I can't then get the best out of my participants. So I looked at it that way. And like I just said before, in terms of being in the environments where I'd been sort of pressured to win and things like that, I still sort of didn't really know how best to sort of, I suppose, before I move on to what I'm going to say next, like how to sort of think about my feelings, if that makes sense, and get my feelings down. But I think especially the theories around, I think you've covered it in one of your podcasts, like the Bourdieu's theories of capital. Mm. So like social capital and physical capital and things like that. I was in environments where I kind of doubted that I was the right person to do it, again, because everyone was like, win, win, win. And I'm like, is this me? But I also thought, do I look the part? Do I sound like I'm supposed to be here? So those sort of forms of capital as well made me then sort of question myself. And again, like, I suppose self-efficacy, definitely never really been sort of confident in my own sort of attributes or my ability to coach, not until sort of later on in life. And I definitely do still get things wrong, which then brings me on to sort of the self-regulation side of it. Like I get something wrong, but then how do I then go about that? Can I regulate my emotions correctly? Can I, again, self-reflection, can I write this down in a way that makes me understand it myself? Again, going back to, unless I can sort of improve me and understand my processes and why I do things, I can't then sort of create what I think are the right environments for my participants, because I suppose I'm constantly fighting a battle with myself if that's going to continue like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great introduction to the whole topic. And what I found quite interesting sort of listening to yourself there is, you know, and when I sort of compare, you know, your journey to my journey, if you like, from what you've just said, I don't think I ever really, maybe until like 22, 23, started to begin to actually understand who like I was as a person, understand how I work, how I act, why I act like that, why I might be who I am, why I have certain thoughts and feelings about stuff. And, you know, I mean, I suppose that because I've never really gone through that, I've never really linked it through coaching or anything like that. I never really reflected and thinking, you know, what am I doing here? Is this right? Should I be doing this? Think about capital, you know, have I got enough capital? Yeah, I never really went through that process. But sort of listening to you there, then it sounds like, and I don't know if this were conscious or subconscious, but it sounds like you were going through that quite a bit. You know, and again, I don't know if that's from your sort of background as a youth elite footballer. But, you know, I find that really interesting.
I think you could probably link it to my failures as a youth footballer, if you're going to go to background, and that in turn then obviously manifests in a way that you're not confident in whatever you do. So whether I did something right or wrong, or again didn't make it as a footballer, you're then obviously automatically going to go to these thoughts of, well, why didn't I? Am I not good enough at this? Am I not good at that? So that in turn obviously sort of helped me sort of decide how I wanted to be as a coach. But yeah, at the same time, you're right, like I had those experiences that then sort of made me, I suppose, at an earlier age think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I mean, to add to that, I would say that it didn't help my mental health. I've openly said on social media that I've struggled with my mental health for a long time, and whether that's come from sporting issues or family issues or just anything from a younger age, I always think that I've been fighting sort of that battle, but at the same time, I don't want anyone else to go through those sort of experiences. So I try and use sort of sport as a platform to try and maybe help people in that sense, because you'll get people turning up to training. Like I said to you before, like I never really had anybody to sort of speak to me about how I was on a certain day. So like now in the environments that I coach in, like some people might turn up and, for instance, they might only be like a 3 out of 10 on that day. They might only be a 2 out of 10. So you can't expect to get a 10 out of 10 performance in that respect. So I think it's a case of sort of knowing where I failed, or knowing what sort of made me wonder why, to then sort of bring that into my own environments now. But definitely, yeah, probably does stem from sort of my background in sport, but maybe away from sport a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating to hear. And, you know, I've got to commend you for obviously being really open to talk about mental health. You know, not everyone is, and I do think you're a bit of an inspiration at times. I've seen a lot of your work doing that. But yeah, I mean, obviously that really links into the subject, you know, as well, understanding, you know, what you're feeling and why you're going through these things and everything. So, you know, I think it's maybe an appropriate time to maybe move on and say, well, you know, in terms of understanding yourself as a person, you know, who you are and why you like this and all this sort of stuff that goes with that domain, if you like, or that area. Well, why is it important then, you know, for people listening who have maybe never gone through this process, why is it important, you know, from a coaching perspective, to actually understand yourself when you're in that profession?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think straight away I would say that my experiences are, and this is something again that I guarantee like most coaches probably go through, you often find yourself comparing yourself to other people. You compare yourself to other coaches' successes. You compare yourself to where you think another coach is in the game today, or how well they've done. And that then creates probably a negative mindset if you're sort of looking at where they are. So I think in terms of sort of comparing yourself to people's sort of perceived strengths, but forgetting about your own, is why it's massively important in coaching, definitely. Because I've been a victim of that, and I still am. And I've spoken to a lot of sort of top-level professionals, even lecturers at Beckett, that go through the same processes. They look at other coaches, they look at where other coaches are, wonder why they aren't in the same place. So for me to sort of hear that from other people as well, definitely helped my mindset and sort of put me at ease, if you were, that where I am is good enough and I can work with that. So yeah, to answer your question, I think it's massively important in the profession that we're in that you do sort of look at your own achievements and think, where was I? Where did I start? How did I get to where I am now? Was it a slow process? Was it quick? How, depending on how long you've been coaching. And just look at those small wins that you've had and think about like how you got those. And it's definitely sort of, it's massive in terms of sort of your mindset and the sort of positive outlook that you can have in coaching. But when you strip it back, it comes down to you and it comes down to understanding why you did it, how you did it. And again, it's just sort of like trying to stay away from the comparisons of where other people are, because I mean, you get like young lads starting out in coaching and obviously the ideal is, okay, I want to be the next Klopp. I want to be the next Mourinho, whoever it is. And without having a conversation with those coaches or even younger like players that who then want to be coaches, without having that conversation with them, they have no idea how difficult it is to get to their level. None whatsoever. And I don't think they're even aware of any of the challenges that they might face. And in that, like I said, like in this profession, you're constantly in competition with someone else. We all do the same job. And whether it's you're working in a girls' context, men's context, whether you're working with children, adults, we're essentially all doing the same thing. We're trying to make someone else's life better. But it's how better can you do that? And if it's you're comparing yourself to someone else doing it, I think that's going to sort of, you're not going to stagnate, but you're going to stay on a level where you're not really improving because you're just aspiring to be like someone else. But it's, again, it's back to your point, strip it back, look at why you're doing it, understand you, understand your processes. Don't look at where John is in League One of whatever football division, like look at you. And I think that's probably like the most important point in terms of why we would sort of relay this information to other coaches.
I think those are some brilliant points. I mean, you're so right. I think, you know, coaching, it is such a lonely profession at times, you know, particularly when you don't understand yourself too much. I mean, I always think, you know, like, And like you say, it is, you know, and I suppose what job isn't, but I think in coaching there's so much about comparisons, comparing yourself to, you know, these coaches that you see on Twitter, these coaches you see at uni, these coaches when you go to, you know, like your CPD events or your coaching badges and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I certainly used to go through that quite myself. I'd always look at other coaches and I'd see that maybe one's been a first team manager at 21 and I'd think, well, I'm 21, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And putting that pressure on myself and sort of taking away from, you know, the reason I actually got into coaching, which like you say was to help people and help develop players and develop people and, you know, I guess learning to understand myself from sort of the period of like being 20 to 23, that kind of all left my coaching. And all I was bothered about then was like looking and seeing, you know, he's doing this, she's doing this, they're doing that. I need to get to that level. And it suddenly becomes about you. And I can remember sort of going through this last year and I think I shared it on my Instagram quite a few months ago and you know, having a bit of depression thinking about it because I felt so pressured to kind of get so high. And I'm looking at myself thinking, oh, I'm 23, what have I done? But like you say, you sort of take a step back and you go, well, actually, I'm doing a master's. I've got a first in a sports coaching degree. Actually, I've managed a couple of teams. I'm only 23. But like you say, the comparison thing is just, and it's quite a dangerous game, especially when you think about social media now. And, you know, I could go on Twitter and you see all these fantastic coaches doing really good work, but you see them and there's that element of, I guess, the nature of the beast of coaching where you think, I've got to do what they're doing. And that's, I think, where this really comes in, where it's about understanding yourself and going, but hang on a minute, I'm not ready for that. You know, I can remember saying to my dad about a month ago, thinking, thing is, you know, I'm 24 now, been a first team manager for about 9 months, probably could have done it when I was 21. And he turned around and he went, no, you couldn't, because you weren't ready.
Yeah.
Really interesting. But other people at 21 were ready. So you know, I mean, without sort of throwing a question to you, I mean, you know, let me know your thoughts on that. What do you think?
No, I definitely agree. I'm the same, like, and I still do it now. I've looked at, again, like I just mentioned before, I've looked at other people's successes, and I've thought, well, how is that person where they are now when I've maybe done the same thing? Like, I don't know, maybe comparing grades, even at undergrad level, someone's got a really good grade, and then you just think, well, how have they done that? Yeah. But then at the end of the day, I've got a good grade too. So yeah. what am I even doing? Why am I considering what someone else has done? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, definitely sort of, like you're saying, timelines. I think just in life, like, people sort of make it into a little bit of a grocery list. Like, you get to a certain age, it's like, have you got a house? Have you got a car? Have you got a family? Have you got kids? And it's like, who cares? Like, it's your life. Yeah. Like, you've taken as long as you've taken to get to a certain point. Yeah. You've been through whatever challenges you've been through. Yeah. You've faced whatever you've faced. And it is something to be massively proud of.
Yeah.
But I think, like I say, we sort of live in a world where people do compare each other or compare themselves to each other a lot. Social media doesn't help. I think it's a great platform for certain things, but I also think it's quite toxic at times in terms of, like I say, other people's sort of perceived strengths. You compare them to your own. You think, well, can I do that? Yeah. Of course you can. Definitely. Just stop questioning whether you can do it or not. Just go out and do it. Look at what you've done and just think, yeah, of course I can do that. Yeah. And I also think as well, it doesn't help sometimes. The coaching community on social media is absolutely profound, I would say. It's really, really helpful at times, but then there are the odd few that are happy to berate you, like, straight away. You'll put something on and people are just like, well, no, I don't agree with that. And it's like, that's fine. People have got opinions. It doesn't mean that it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Some people can't really understand the concept of you can still be friends if you believe something different.
Yeah.
Like, they just can't. They're just like, right, you're rubbish then. You're the worst coach ever because you don't think the same as me. So yeah. I don't think that helps either. And I think, again, that might, for somebody that's not really strong-minded, that might, like, be a knock on confidence for somebody.
Yeah.
So it sort of strips it back to sort of the self-efficacy theory and sort of beliefs in your own ability, because someone that you think is in a better position than you has said that something is wrong, you're then going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And I just think, no, we need to get out of those sort of mindsets. And like you say, yourself at 23, like, you've made some massive achievements.
Mm.
And I think me, I'm 36 now, so I suppose my fight was not necessarily picking the sort of right environment that I wanted to coach in. One of the main challenges that I faced over the years was being in the wrong environments altogether. I was kind of surrounded by people that said that it wasn't a real job.
Yeah.
So I'd said I wanted to be a football coach. People were like, are you having a laugh? That's not even a job.
Yeah.
It's what people do on TV. And it's like, yeah, but how do you think they got there, though? Yeah. Do you think they just woke up, bang, I'm on TV straight away?
Yeah.
So I just think, like, I spent a lot of time with people saying, don't chase that dream. Like, it's not a real job. Just go get a standard 9-to-5, get some job security, get a good wage, and just crack on with your life. And yeah. As much as I did that, I was always sort of coaching in the background voluntarily, just saying, do you know what? I'm gonna come away from this and I'm going to be a football coach,
yeah,
or I'm going to be a sports coach, because it is a real job and it's the only thing I'm really interested in doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, yeah. You know, so again, just brilliant points, and you're so right. And it's, I mean, this is the real importance to understand yourself. You know, it's like when I first, you know, set up this podcast, you know, I come speaking to loads of people about it and them saying, no, you'll never do that. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, are you good enough to host a podcast? Can you do this? Have you got enough knowledge base? All that sort of thing. And you never truly know until you know yourself, really. And my mind says, well, why not? Let's just try it. Let's see what happens. You know, and I think you're so right. And, you know, going back to your point on Twitter, something I've learned is, you know, think about conceptions of knowledge and conceptions of learning by, I forget the author's name, but, you know, the idea of, you know, sometimes people are sort of in that dualist mindset where it's very black and white. Everything is, this is either right or this is either wrong. But sometimes it can be higher up that scale, which isn't to knock the dualist, by the way. It's just how people thinking. Maybe when you get to that scale of relativism and you think, well, actually, that might not be right in that context, but in this one, well, actually, that might be okay. Well, it's
absolutely
yourself, isn't it? Because, you know, there's been times where I've put things on social media and I've had someone come back and say that's wrong. But then, you know, you sort of look back and you think, yeah, but how do you know that? Because
yeah,
exactly. Not in my context, you don't know what I'm doing, you don't know my coaching. And that's, yeah. Like you say, sometimes if I didn't understand that and probably thinking, well, that person is probably a dualist, probably that's their conception of knowledge, so they're giving their opinion based on that conception. If I didn't know that, that'd stop me ever posting anything again. And
absolutely.
I think that's, like you say there, that's why it's so important for you to begin to, you know, who are you? You know, what's your knowledge? How do you think? How do you learn? What's your thoughts on things? You know, and like you say, if you're so, and, you know, certainly something I was guilty of, not just in coaching, but in life, if you sort of direct what you do with people's opinions and people's thoughts of you, well, you never get anywhere, do you? You know, like you've just said there, is actually if you understand what you think you can do and your limitations, but actually, like you say, just going for it, you know, what can you achieve? Top 20 on recommended podcast. Who would have thought that a year ago? For me, certainly not. I thought we'd be lucky if we get 10 listeners, but, you know, like you say, it's such a prime example,
exactly.
Isn't it?
It's perfect testament to situations like that. I suppose, like you say, like with the people that come at you and say, no, that's wrong. I did used to sort of buy into that. I used to think, okay, then it's wrong. I'll try something different. Or if I had a bad session, I'd look at it and I'd think, right, I'm the worst coach ever. But I then got into a period of sort of self-reflection, and it was like, and again, this is sort of taking advice from other people as well, like coaches that I perceive to be in a high position, or academics, they've just turned around to me and gone, like, one bad session does not make you a bad coach. It's like simple as.
Yeah.
And just definitely, like, with the people that say, like, no, that's wrong. And like you said, like, it's all specific to the context. So it's just a case of you put someone on, someone says, no, that's wrong. It's like, well, what team do you coach? And they're like, so-and-so under 20s. I'm like, yeah, it's wrong then, because it's not for your team, it's for mine.
Yeah, under 8s, yeah. Yeah, and that's such a great point. And, you know, I guess it sort of goes to that other idea of you, you know, understanding, like you say, so you think, you know, I've had a really bad session this day. But, you know, that to me, that really sort of brings to importance how important reflection is and self-reflection, whereas actually you go, well, actually, didn't sleep very well the night before. Maybe I had a couple of things in my personal life this morning. Maybe I got that grade back from uni I weren't happy with. And these are all factors that then impacted how you went and coached that day. It's not because you were a bad coach or you're suddenly awful. It's all these factors that, you know, have impacted yourself. And there's only truly you, isn't there, that you can sort of sit back and do that, because only you truly know yourself, don't you? And for me, that's, you know, one of the things that I suppose we've discussed already that kind of really highlights the importance. But,
you know, the Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
You know, I guess if I sort of move it on to segment two, which I'm going to have to bring another question to you, because we've kind of gone through everything from segment two planning to segment one, which normally happens in this podcast anyway. But, you know, sort of me just doing a presentation for uni just recently, and it was all about creating goals that met the needs and wants of all stakeholders. And, you know, I think what coaches tend to do quite a lot is, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, Dan, but what I think we always are really good at coaches is we're very good at meeting the needs of all the players. So we're planning the session to what they want and what they need.
Yeah.
But sometimes what we don't always do is we actually forget that we're a stakeholder in that context. So we don't actually meet our needs. So I can give you a prime example of the context I was in once, where, you know, my sort of ideal coaching is being, you know, probably where I am now at Oakley, being very performance-based, also looking to develop players, but developing, you know, to win. That's always been what I really enjoy. And I can remember sort of going to this context, and I think they were, you know, 21, 22-year-old men, and it was going and helping out and sort of just delivering a couple of sessions for this team. But they were all about the social aspect. And so I ran to meet their needs. But then I can remember sort of reflecting on that, thinking, well, hang on a minute, I'm driving an hour and 20 minutes to get there, three times a week. Well, it's not meeting my needs.
No, definitely not.
You know, so, you know, I suppose throw me your thoughts on there.
Again, it's something that I've I've been in those environments, and there's been times when I suppose it's taken me too long to ask that question of myself. I've maybe stuck it out for a long time, and I don't know, maybe sometimes I've gone home and thought, is this for me? Is this meeting my needs? Or I've maybe given it a few seconds, but then I've continued to do it. But you're right, like in terms of sort of you and your own journey and sort of where you want to progress to, I think any experience is a good experience, absolutely. Whether you find it's for you or it's not. I think, like I said there, I'm sort of alluding to the point of if the quicker you can sort of meet your needs in an environment, the better it is for you, for both you and the participants. Obviously, you have an ideal of where you want to be. You have an ideal of the environment that you want to work in. And by picking up these different experiences over time, yeah, it's great, but it's not ultimately where you want to be. So I think, again, stripping it back to obviously the topic of the pod, like understanding yourself and your needs and what you want. I think it's ultimately, like you just said there, for that example, like you were in an environment where it was purely based around sort of the social aspect of it, and that's not you as a coach. So as much as you can drive there 3 times a week, deliver a session, and they're happy with it, you're not really getting anything out of it other than the validation that you can create a socially orientated environment for some players.
Yeah,
they might have been maintaining or improving to an extent, 1-3%, but you're just staying the same.
Yeah.
So I think it's that understanding of your needs, which is massive in that respect. But like I say, like you've been in that environment, you knew it wasn't for you, and you knew because you understood a bit more about yourself at that moment in time.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a really great point. And, you know, it's something that I suppose, you know, I think about myself coaching in certain environments. I can remember coaching right at like the youngest scale, 18 months to 5-year-olds on a Saturday morning in my second and third year at uni. I can remember getting
that
to
was
those,
fun.
Like, oh, let me tell you, like, I can remember getting to those Saturday morning sessions. Oh my God, I was so unmotivated, you know, but I just stuck at it because the advice I was getting at the time was, well, it's a good experience. Keep yourself going. It looks good on the CV and all that sort of thing. You know, now you've done a wide age scale. But, you know, when I kind of look back at that now, yeah, about understanding myself and, you know, it was just a waste of time for my personal development. Although it was good, I'd had that on the CV, but it was like, well, I'm not motivated to do it. And I was turning up into coaching, you know, very happily say it was horrendous. It was awful because there was no motivated individual leading that session with a smile on his face and said it was, well, I just need this job to get a bit of money in so I can, you know, afford to live for the rest of this semester or whatever. And I, you know, sort of, you know, listening to yourself there and talking about that, I think it's really interesting. And I think maybe, you know, we think about coaches now and maybe compared to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they're definitely coming in a lot younger. Starting early, you know, you said you started at 20.
Oh, yeah.
I started at 17. I know these coaches now, like my brother Ethan, he started at 15. I know coaches now starting at 12, 13. And I think maybe for me, that really highlights the idea of personal development, doesn't it? If you are sort of doing this and it's a great experience, but, you know, is it good for your personal development? Is it good for your professional development? You know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I suppose it's just a case of it's a job for someone else. As much as we are sort of in the same industry, like everyone has their own idea of where they want to be. And like I said to you before, like when you strip it right back and you have this ideal of where you want to be, some people look at, I don't know, strength and conditioning coaches, some people look at physios, some people look at performance analysis. And although that's more prominent today, people have those ideals. And your journey or part of your journey along the way, if you were to be the head coach of an academy, yeah, it might not include coaching 18-month to 5-year-old children. But then I suppose the flip side of it is, yeah, you do get that little bit of experience. But again, people stay in that environment. People coach 18-month to 5-year-old kids because that is what they want to do. So they'll go to that, they'll coach that, but again, they would then not experience any other ideas or concepts of coaching another age group or in a different context because they're stuck there. So you could ask them if they're happy with that, which nine times out of 10, they probably would say yes. But is it a yes because they don't understand the benefits of coaching somewhere else? Or is it a yes because, yeah, they're happy with where they are kind of thing? So like I said, like there's a pathway for everyone, but some are just not. Like you say, in your development, that particular period of time was purely just to get a bit of money to make sure you could sort of keep things afloat. And you were fortunate that you had the opportunity to do that, but ultimately it didn't really benefit you on your journey. I've definitely had instances before where I've maybe coached an age group that I thought I wasn't interested in, or I've coached in an environment that I didn't really want to be in. But like you say, or like I said to me before, like every experience is a positive experience, but you need to sort of quickly ask yourself those questions. Like, is this what I want to do? Do I want to be on this pathway? I've tried sort of like different elements, I suppose, of sort of the makeup of coaching. Like I've done performance analysis. I've filmed games, I've tagged games and things like that. And as much as that was massive for my development, I suppose in terms of seeing football from a different perspective, having done it for 6 months, I suppose, I knew that I didn't want to do that as a profession. So I can't obviously like completely say that it was a waste of time, but it was a waste of time in the respect that I knew I didn't want to do that. But it did give me a lot of sort of insight into looking at the game from a different perspective.
Fantastic.
The Sports Coaching Podcast with Sam Holmshaw.
So, I mean, I'm a bit conscious of time, and I know as a fellow master's student myself that you've obviously got a lot of stuff to get on with. So, we'll swiftly move on to our final segment, which we always finish nicely termed implications for coaching practice. So, the first question I'll pose to you, and I guess, it might be a bit of a deep question to you, Dan, but I'm really interested to hear from, your own experience, obviously someone that's done a lot of reflection as a coach and, sort of listening to you through this podcast really has a good idea of themselves now. How does a coach begin to go about that then? Beginning to understand yourself, who you are as a coach, how do you really start to undertake that journey?
I suppose from my point of view, obviously the benefit of being at Beckett and being around other academics, like I said, I probably touched on ideas of sort of try to regulate my thoughts and things like that before, but I never really sort of understood it as a concept until I went to uni. So I'm not saying it's an absolute definite that you need to go to uni to be able to understand this and to be able to understand a bit more about yourself. But I think the internet is a wonderful thing. And I think if you, as a coach or as a person, just want to learn a bit more about that, you could definitely just sort of, within 2 seconds, find out a bit of information about sort of how to sort of understand or process your own thoughts a bit better. But from my point of view, obviously I've had the benefit of, and I'm quite lucky in the respect that Beckett offer the amount of sort of information that they do in terms of the literature that they literature that they ask you to read and things like that. So in terms of going about it, as soon as I sort of knew about these concepts, that was when I wanted to know more. But then the more I knew, the more I realized I didn't know, which was absolutely insane. I was just like, okay, I've got a decent level of understanding about myself and what I do now, but then the more I read, I was just like, wow. And that just then obviously invited me to want to read more and more and more. And as mind-blowing as it is, I would say that it's definitely a massive tool for you to have going into your coaching. And like you said there, in terms of your implications for coaching, I often found that, or I still do, to be honest, I still find that if my sessions aren't going right, I'll reflect in the session and reflect after the session, but often my reflections in the session do cause implications within the session, because I suppose if you look at sort of engagement or practice design and things like that, if it's not going right, sometimes I'm not that quick at not figuring out what's gone wrong, but correcting it. But it's more because I then think I've done this wrong, yeah, and I spend a good minute or 2 minutes on like absolutely berating myself. I'll be like, how have I done this wrong? I thought of this, I thought of that, and I'll just let it continue for a good minute while I can sort of figure out how to change it. Yeah. But like I say, that reflection and action, I'm then just stood there absolutely slating myself, thinking, how has this happened? Like, I'm the worst coach ever. But then within about 2 minutes, it's sorted and people are meeting the objectives of the session, whether it's all of them or half of them. But definitely in terms of sort of implications, like, I think if I didn't understand my own thought processes, times like that would last a hell of a lot longer. Yeah. I would be stuck in that mindset for a good 10 minutes and I'd be like, I don't know how to change this right now because I've done it wrong. I'm not confident enough to be able to change it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, that basically describes it in a nutshell, doesn't it? Exactly the same. You know, in my earlier days, I'd get something wrong or it'd look bad and his parents watching you. And I'm, you know, as a person, I suppose, as in my younger days, I was always so critical of myself. And like you say, just berating yourself in your head. No, how have you done this? You've not prepared enough, this, and that. You know, at times where I'd just be completely gone and I'd just have to get through that session. And, you know, when I sort of began to understand that actually I am very self-critical, and I need to just calm down with that and learn how to deal with it. Then, like you said, going through those moments, then you suddenly go, okay, shut up, Sam, in your head. Let's just get through it and we'll reflect on that after. You're fine. And it's, you know, and the other thing I think about is, you know, one that what was really funny for me last year, sort of doing the understanding expertise idea about these concepts, the module and the masters was, you know, thinking that sort of going through that reflection period for me, it was around, right, well, you know, I've got all this information, all this knowledge, but I'm not really using it. As a coach, I'm still turning up and just doing a session where I've planned it in my head before, without writing it down and really considering what I'm doing and all this. And I was thinking, why have I done that for the last 4 years? And then you go, because you're quite a lazy person. And so, you know, now thinking about my progression, I force myself to sit down for 2 or 3 hours and really think about what I'm going to do before I deliver that session. Because I know if I don't do that, because I'm a lazy person, I'll never get anywhere. And, you know, I suppose those two examples there, and, you know, I don't know if there's any more from you, any more additional points, but in a nutshell for me, that's just, it explains why you must understand yourself, because then by understanding yourself and like those moments of stress or them moments where I can't really be bothered today, you know, to plan that session, that then impacts how you will then go and coach, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think in what you've said there, well, it's largely down to acceptance. And that is something that it's hard to do just as a person in general, accepting that you've done something wrong. And like I said, like I'm 50-50, I battle with mental health problems. I was diagnosed as bipolar a few years back. So I have that as a battle, but then also trying to sort of battle with accepting that I've done something wrong in coaching. So it's a massive step in itself, just accepting that, yeah, you've done something wrong. That's the first and the major hurdle in my opinion. And like you've said there, like you had a period of reflection where you looked at what you were doing, why you were doing it, and you answered that question. You're like, well, because I was lazy. But it's accepting that, because a lot of the time, like, coaches are probably driven by their ego and they won't accept that they won't change because they're lazy, or they won't change because they think something it should be done the exact same way all the time. So I think definitely, like, acceptance that you can do things wrong, and how to then go about it, is definitely a major player in terms of sort of self-development, and just allowing yourself that time, whether it's in a session or after a session, or if you're planning for, if I don't know, if you're doing nested planning and you're going to go for a macro cycle or just whatever, just allowing yourself to sort of realize that it isn't always going to be perfect. Because like you said, you've put pressures on yourself before, where things needed to be a certain way, they need to look a certain way. Because at the end of the day, you might not wake up that 10 out of 10 person, and I guarantee not even half of your participants for that session are going to be a 10 out of 10. So it's trying to be accepting of sort of all variables that can sort of come together within that one sort of cluster of time.
Yeah, I mean, as been throughout this episode, I think that's an exceptional point, really. I'm really glad you've brought that one to life. And I think, you know, we're, in many respects, we're trying to find the answer of how do you begin to understand yourself? And I think it may be, you know, like my dad always would use the saying of, you know, well, you just get there when you get there. At some point, yeah, you will get there and begin to go through this, whether that comes with age, whether that comes with experience, whether that comes with knowledge. Eventually, you do just get to that point. But I think that's a fabulous point, Dan. And I suppose my final question, but not really a question, you know, is there anything else you want to bring for the listeners, you know, just around the subject, just in general, just before we finish the pod?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot in terms of sort of the time that we've had there. I think it's been very relevant in terms of sort of the coaching world today, especially in my opinion. I think a lot of these, or this conversation that we've had, I think a lot of these feelings are probably hidden a lot of the time. And I think that coaches are, as much as you're encouraged to talk about your thoughts and feelings and things like that, whether it's from a personal point of view or from a professional point of view, I think people still do sort of tend to sort of shy away from that. And if that is the case, it's just more, I suppose, if you were going to listen back to this, just have that little moment of self-reflection and just think to yourself, like, does this relate to me? If it does and it can help you in a way, then absolutely go for it. Like, just think about what you've heard today and just sort of use it in terms of sort of whether it's shaping your practices or shaping your mindset and things like that. But I definitely do think that a lot of stuff we've covered today, like, it goes unsaid. So I think having a platform like this with as many listeners as you have is absolutely fantastic and can only benefit other coaches to then sort of see the benefit in the real world. Because like I said, at the end of the day, we're all in it to make other people's lives better. So as soon as you can sort of take control of your own processes and things like that, why you do them, it's a lot easier for you to sort of plan sessions, evaluate individual development, however you want to say it. I think it's definitely a massive tool for people to have, sort of understanding themselves a bit better to then obviously create these ideal environments, whether it's in an elite environment or whether it's grassroots. I think it's all the same in terms of the goal that we're all trying to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I have to say, I think today has been such a brilliant episode, actually. I mean, I've certainly enjoyed it listening to your story. And I think the personal journey you've gone on, Dan, I think is just wonderful, you know, to hear. And, you know, certainly resonate with a lot of the things you've been through and where you are now. But I think, like you say, it's been such a fantastic topic to discuss, because I think, like you say, it's not always talked about. I can't really think of too many occasions where I've, you know, heard it being spoken about, you know, speaking about myself, actually. So, no, I mean, you know, I think it's been a fantastic episode. You know, I've got to thank you for your time. Did you enjoy it? How was it for you? Worth the 8-month wait?
Absolutely. We got there in the end. I just kind of thought to myself, things like this, if they're meant to happen, they will, like, no matter what day it's on. But yeah, we got there in the end. And no, I can only thank you for having me on. It's been a great sort of opportunity for me to, I suppose, give my opinion. Like we discussed, people have opinions about whatever, but it's good to sort of get my story across and just try and help other coaches, which is the point of the podcast.
Definitely. Like I say it's been a fantastic episode. It's been fantastic to hear your journey, Dan. So yeah, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks once again to all our listeners. So I seem to be a bit rusty on today's episode. You can tell it's probably been 4 weeks since I've last done it. But yeah, thank you so much to Dan. Thank you so much to everyone who's listened. If you like the podcast, please do drop us a review. Please do share the podcast, you know, tell your friends, tell your family about it, particularly from a coaching perspective. And hopefully we will see everyone next week for the final episode of this season 3 that seems to have gone on quite a while during this Christmas break. But again, Dan, thank you so much for your time. Thanks to everyone at home, and we'll see you all next week.
No problem. Thanks, Sam.